welcome back to Ping. This is episode 159 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about week after week. And yet again, we have Paul this week. Welcome back, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, so it's been a couple weeks since we've done our last episode, and that's just because obviously there's been a lot going on between personal traveling, Paul just being completely unavailable, and
this tiny little
conference we did called Build. Perhaps you've heard of it. Now, Paul, I realize you're not here at the mothership anymore, but are you familiar with Build?
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal, right? Wasn't there like a blog about Build for, you know, the last year or so, exposing the details of Windows 8?
And, you know, I went around at the attendee party and throughout my time at the conference, and I tried to get a grasp. You know what I like to do? I like to talk to the people, find out what the people are feeling. And I firmly believe that people were really blown away. Everyone was really, really satisfied with the speakers, with the sessions that were offered, with the venue itself, of course, being here in Seattle, here on Microsoft, and just with the overall content. The press has been remarkably favorable, and I think that we finally nailed it, Paul.
Yeah. Now, didn't people get some really awesome gifts too? Like, didn't they get a Surface and like a Nokia Lumia 920?
There were some good prizes given away, but that's not why they loved it, Paul. I hate when I'm trying to say something nice and you turn it into just, you know, how humanity is selfish and only self-worshipping.
Oh, actually, I think a lot of people were really excited to meet Larry Larson. I saw that on his Facebook feed that everyone was just like, oh my gosh, this is the defrag guy.
I know. I mean, I feel that way daily when I see him in the office and stuff, so I get it. I do.
Yeah.
I get it. Anyway, check out all of the coverage from Build on Channel 9. You can get, obviously, all of my videos, which will basically suffice. But if you want, you can go in and check out the sessions and the tracks and some keynotes and all of that. It's all up on Channel 9. So if you weren't able to attend, go out and check out those videos. And before we start the show, Paul, I wanted to comment on something that Justin M. Salvato said in our last episode, way back at episode 158. He said he loves our show so much. He loves the way we explain it, explain the concepts to people like him so that he can understand it. But then he adds that it should be broadly distributed or published widely. Channel 9 is broadly distributed. Everyone in the world can access it and get it. Where does he think we should be publishing?
I don't know. I mean, perhaps there are other more mainstream video sites out there that would allow us to get a larger reach, but I think Channel 9 has a nice, good focus on the Microsoft development community. Perhaps Ping should get more dev-centric, or perhaps we should find some channels that that can broaden the reach of Channel 9's reach.
Perhaps we should bring the non-dev centric viewers to Channel 9 rather than, you know, I'm usually a fan of fishing where the fish are, but in this instance, I think we need to get the fish and bring them into our pond.
How about we make a new channel and we call it I don't know, like Channel 9B or Channel 10, and have it be like more like tech enthusiast, not so dev centric, maybe a bit more consumer.
Wow, I like that. Channel 10. You know what? I'm gonna pitch that. Let's start the show. All right, Paul, as I'm sure you watched all of my coverage of last year's E3.
Oh, all of it. Easily.
Well, nice. One of the things then you know that we talked about is smart glass.
Yeah, how else I know that we talked about that? Because we talked about it on Ping.
right. Did we?
Yeah. maybe I did that when you were gone.
So, just those of you who may not have been watching, smart glass essentially allows you to take some other device and it becomes another screen to interact with your Xbox, right, Paul?
Yeah, it provides.
How would you describe it so Justin M. Salvato would understand?
I would say that with all of the very intelligent touchscreen connected devices, that it's a way to have a pairing between those touchscreen devices and your Xbox. So you can use it to control your music and videos. You can use it to like navigate through it, and you can even use it to like browse the internet. So a lot of the really simple, frustrating things that have made the Xbox somewhat difficult to interact with, like chat features, for example, you now can have like a touchscreen keyboard that you can type on versus having to go letter by letter with the Xbox controller, or without having to buy like a very focused peripheral for like $40 or $50 that has like a little chat pad that you jam into your controller.
Right. That was good. That was a good explanation.
Yeah.
And so, as exciting as that sounds, it is now available for iOS devices.
Yeah, it's available actually across the board. Like, I think it works on the Windows 8 Surface. It also works on my Windows Phone 7 smartphone from years ago. And just this past week, it was announced and released on the App Store. So.
It's also available. It's out there for Android as well.
Yep. So I downloaded it, and I was actually pleasantly surprised how easy it was to set up. Like, you just get out an iOS device, or you get out your phone, you log in to your Microsoft account. It's no longer called your Live ID. I believe it's called your Microsoft ID or your Microsoft account. And like, and
I liked clarity.
And like instantly. It just shows up on your Xbox saying DJ COD has connected to this Xbox, and then you can start swiping through. You have that second screen experience that can augment the content on the screen, so you can be watching a movie or you can be looking up something, and then have more details showing up on your second screen experience, or you can use that to more easily interact. Now, in playing with it, there were a couple quirks that I was kind of surprised about.
Paul.
For example, normally when you're swiping on one of these devices, when you move your finger from the right to the left, like, you actually are navigating to the right because you're like physically pushing it one direction. But you actually have to do the opposite on the touchscreen devices because it's trying to emulate you pointing in that direction for it to work like an Xbox controller. So I think there's definitely some room for improvement there.
What about the actual content that's available? Because this is really what I feel is going to make it be a massive success or not. It's how many developers are out there creating content that enable and have that use this sort of capability.
Yeah, so there are definitely some very close Microsoft partners that are already leveraging this. So the different apps inside Xbox, or games, as they've traditionally been called, like Netflix, for example, you don't really consider that a game. You consider that more of an app. That's already enabled to use Smart Glass. So you can navigate through your Netflix movies. There's actually special icons that you can hit, so you don't even have to like navigate through your screen on your Xbox to launch Netflix. You can just tap right on it on your Smart Glass, and it will launch the app on the Xbox. And they I don't think they enabled the situation yet where you can be watching it on your Xbox and then say like, oh, you know, I want to move from the living room to the bedroom, but I want to keep watching my movie on my tablet device. I imagine that's coming soon, because they currently do have that for browsing the web. So if you want to like show a website and a nice big screen, then you can type in the URL, you can search for things on Bing, see it on the big screen, but then you can take it with you on your device as you leave. So if you wanted to say like, hey, what restaurant do we want to go to tonight, and everyone's sitting around your big screen TV, you can all like look at the same thing at the same time, and then once you figure out which one you want, you can just say, boom, I'm going to take this with me on my phone so I can get directions, and I'll head out. So I think as people start seeing these simple use cases and start integrating them into their own apps, into their own indie games, into their own second screen experiences, we're really gonna see a revolutionary way of consuming media over like the next 5 years.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So get out there and try it if you haven't already. Now that it's available pretty much for everyone, there's no reason not to. Right,
Yeah,
Paul?
just get an Xbox in every room now. That'd be awesome.
All right, Paul. So when you made the announcement that you were leaving me and Microsoft, but me, it was devastating. And I thought, oh God, how am I gonna see your beautiful face?
Stop the program!
How are we gonna keep in touch? How is Ping gonna go on for the millions and millions of fans? We don't wanna disappoint. How is this gonna happen? And we made it happen, thought Paul, through the magic of Skype.
Yep.
In fact, that's how this is happening. And so we are obviously fans of Skype here on the Ping Show. And they have just made an announcement that Microsoft is no longer going to continue supporting Windows Live Messenger. And instead, we're pushing all those people and all those people that want to chat and talk in that form and pushing them on over to the Skype platform.
Yep. Yeah, so this is definitely a much needed move. Like it's really confusing for customers when one company has multiple online video chatting options, which I think is one of the primary use cases for Skype. And I'm not familiar whether Windows Live Messenger had the actual physical landlines that you could call, like if you could call from your computer to a real phone or a mobile phone. But I imagine there may have been some of that functionality too. But it's nice that that brand is going away. Skype's going to be the primary brand, which I think is most certainly the right move because even the people that really don't know much about tech, like they're like, oh, you guys can just Skype, and they use that as the primary way of describing video calls, even if they. Yeah, even if they don't use Skype, like they could use some other service. They're like, "Oh yeah, I'm Skyping with so and so right now." And it's like, "No, that's not Skype. That's some other video
Right,
chatting
I think
service."
because Skyping has become just the term that you use for video chat, I think it's going to confuse some people, like, I don't know, my mother, when I tell her I want to Skype with her, but I don't need to actually video, that they were just going to use this to chat.
Yeah.
I think that some people may be a little put off when I say, well, let's Skype, and they say, no, I haven't put my face on yet today. You know?
Yeah, that's totally a primary use case. So, thankfully, if you get one of these Microsoft LifeCam webcams, then you can use like the augmented reality feature to just cover up your face with all sorts of fun little
Little clip arts.
yeah little clip art things. But one of the interesting things about this Skype and Windows Messenger replacement is that Messenger and Skype will continue to be separate entities over in China. So I guess there are some regulations that if you do anything in the telecommunications sector in China, you need to have a domestic Chinese company that has a majority ownership in that venture. So I was actually reading about this last night on some tech news article over in China that was written in Chinese, so the data that I have may not be fully translated properly, but it was definitely super interesting because I guess Skype back in 2004 did a joint venture with someone called Tom Online, and Microsoft did a joint venture with a different local Chinese company in 2005 called the Shanghai Alliance Investment Company, and that's how Microsoft operates in China because that's what MSN China is built with. So when Microsoft bought Skype in 2011, these other entities did not merge. So you now have Microsoft Skype with Tom Online, and you have Microsoft Messenger and MSN with the Shanghai Lion Investment Company. So there's, long story short, there Microsoft's going to have to do some due diligence and figure out how these two separate companies in China can essentially merge or play well together.
Messenger, and you said that's because of the law there?
Yeah, so the Chinese government highly regulates communication inside the walls of China. Like, they have this thing called the Great Firewall of China, which is an amazing technical feat where they monitor things that people read and search for on the web, as well as all communications across all phones, mobile phones, chats, video chats. Yeah, it's something that the Chinese government has chosen to do, and if you want to do business inside China, you have to abide by these regulations, or they'll shut you down. So so it's definitely something that Microsoft has to do some very strong due diligence in, since China is an incredibly large market. So Messenger will continue being its own entity in China, as will Skype. And I'm not sure what that means. Like, if the people on Messenger in China can only talk to people in China, since nobody else will be on Messenger after a little while and they'll all go to Skype, or if there's like some bridge that connects people from Messenger to Skype. I don't know. It'll be pretty.
I don't know. We'll have to do a little research on that and report back to see how they're handling it over there. But for everyone who's not in China, get on over and start using Skype for all your communication needs.
Yeah, and it should be pretty easy. Like, you should just be able to put in your Microsoft ID, and it will automatically import all of your contacts from Messenger. So once everyone gets onto Skype, you'll have the phenomenal Skype experience.
I'm still using AOL, Instant Messenger. I know. Anyway, yep, next. Yep. All right, Paul, we've had a debate ongoing. Well, let's just call it more of a conversation ongoing here on Ping. I believe probably since the inception of Ping, and the question is whether or not Microsoft is cool, whether or not Microsoft is relevant, whether or not Microsoft is, you know, at the top of their game, cutting edge. And now, post-build, with the announcement of Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, and the Surface, several reports are stating that Microsoft has pulled off the biggest reinvention ever, and we are now right there at the center of cool, at the epitome of relevance. We have become, Paul. What do you think?
I think that there's definitely a huge potential, and I'm glad that Microsoft has considered shifting strategy away from doing solely getting revenue from partners through partners building hardware, and Microsoft diving in and with like the Windows Phone helping partners understand, like, here's the minimum spec and here are the consistent things that all Windows phones need. That was a great first step over the last couple of years. And now diving in and making their own tablet and really trying to push the boundaries of what's expected out of a PC Plus device, where it's, you know, not just a tablet OS, but you can also have, you know, the desktop mode, and you can have a keyboard that comes with it, and you can have a bit more of a unified experience across all of these devices. So I definitely think that this is the type of bold move that Microsoft needs to try, and I'm really, really interested to see over the next year how that plays out. Like, I've seen over the last few weeks, the number of apps that go into the App Store, the marketplace, is just like going up and up and up at like an exponential rate. So I can only imagine that a year from now, it's going to be a very crowded marketplace with ideally some very phenomenal apps.
Yeah, well, hopefully our audience out there will be building those apps, and even you, Paul, you can get out there and build. But I wanted to talk about, so one of the things that, like, there have been complaints about over the years, and even I might have uttered a complaint once or twice, is that, you know, Microsoft is so big and we've got so much going on and so many products that it gets confusing, all the different stuff. And I think this is a clear push towards, like you said, a consistent experience. Everything is just becoming a bit more streamlined. Everything is becoming with a centric Microsoft feel with the Windows 8 operating system. And I think it's adding clarity to consumers out there. It's like, this is what our company's about. This is what our products look like. This is what we do. And to me, it's gonna help us in terms of the way we're seen and the way we're understood out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, I agree in the long term that we will be able to reach that clarity. I think right now, because there's so much new stuff coming out and Microsoft diving into hardware for the first time, there's still a fair amount of customer confusion where it's like, okay, so is this Surface is a Microsoft thing, but what's the difference between like a Surface RT and like a Surface Pro? So I do think that some additional messaging, and ideally I think the $1.5 billion that Microsoft has announced to spend marketing and advertising for Windows 8, that they'll be able to help land that messaging. But you know, the fact of the matter remains that this is one of the biggest, boldest moves that Microsoft has made in a very, very long time. And it could either reap some very serious dividends, or it could be a good, you know, first or second step in learning into what that next big thing should be.
Yeah, why do we do that? Why do we announce how much money we're spending in marketing campaigns? This isn't the first time that news has been published as about how much money a certain company is spending advertising.
Yeah,
feels
I think
there's bragging.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is it's signaling to the market that Microsoft is becoming serious in the consumer space. It's no longer about just trying to reach business users or have like, you know, small viral word of mouth campaigns. It's like, this is a serious deal. We've spent a bunch of money building this product and researching this product, and now we want to let the world know how amazing this product is. And I think that also by announcing those things, they are interesting PR stories, so they can amplify the reach of like how this signal that Microsoft has made is important to the company. And there also may be some financial things where like when you spend over a certain amount of money doing something, it's notable enough to be put into your quarterly earnings statement. So,
Right. I got you. So maybe, just maybe, this could be the last time that we ever have to sit here and discuss whether or not Microsoft is cool, relevant, cutting edge. What do you think, Paul? Is this it? Have we answered the question?
I don't know what else we would talk about, really. So regardless of
it. So we'll probably talk about it again.
Yeah, we will.
Check back episode 170. Yeah. So one of the things we've been talking about during this episode is the amount and need for really great quality apps out there in the marketplace, in the Windows Store, and obviously Windows Phone 8. And one app that has just been announced and released for Windows Phone 8 is the SkyDrive app, which is more handy and necessary than I think people realize. You don't even know that you need this, but you need this. You know, a SkyDrive essentially lets you upload and store files to the cloud, and then you can access them and manage them and edit them from any device anywhere. So it's your own personal hard drive that you don't have to ever carry around.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
Justin M. Salvato would like that description.
Yeah, I thought that was a very, you know, Paul Mestermaker or the new Mary Jo Foley-esque description of how you could
The same. Yeah, and so now you can get this for your Windows Phone. I believe, I don't know the price.
No, it's
free!
No way Microsoft would charge for having an app for SkyDrive. You can get access SkyDrive from the web. You can have it. It's built into Windows 8. Like, you log in with your Microsoft identity, and you can just share stuff and store it right in SkyDrive. It's been on Windows Phone 7 for a while, so now it's available on Windows Phone 8, and it's just one of those things where you want to have your stuff everywhere, and it doesn't make sense for there not to be an app on any platform, Microsoft or otherwise, that doesn't have SkyDrive. So it's so necessary, and I'm personally glad that I've been using SkyDrive for a while because I was able to get the 25 free gigabytes that we talked about a few months back.
Look at you, Paul. Trailblazing. Anyway, get out there and start using SkyDrive and start telling your friends how much you're a fan of cloud computing. All right, everybody, that wraps up this week's episode. It's good to be back in the saddle. Feels good. I feel invigorated. We will be back again next week, 2 weeks in a row. And Paul, I heard a siren or something going by. What part of LA are you in? Are you safe, Paul?
I am safe so long as I'm in my apartment, which is why I don't leave all that much. But there is a fire station that's like 2 or 3 blocks from here. So even if there isn't a problem in my immediate vicinity, they need to haul butt and just get out of this area in a hurry. So there's constantly sirens going off.
Oh my God, did you know that when you agreed to go live there?
No, I'm still crashing with my co-founder, and he had chosen this place because it's a big studio, and we do like photo shoots and things here for
Things here.
the
I'll bet
products
you
that we made. So,
do. I'll bet you do. All right, everybody. Well, come back next week. But before we go, I wanted to send you. Oh, follow Paul at Paul something.
At Paul Mest. Yeah.
And follow me at Elfoy. And before I go, we are always amazed at some of the content that you guys create. And someone out there in the world created a video for the Surface versus the iPad. And again, just a labor of love, just something he did with his free time. And it's pretty, in my opinion, badass. So I'm gonna let you go out on that, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.